Now, back to Good Morning New Hampshire with Peter St. James and Pat Kelly on 107.7 The Pulse.
Take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the host or their guest. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this radio station. It's not our intention to libel, discriminate, make hate, or annoy anyone. This radio station takes no responsibility for the opinions of others.
There you go. I figured I had to work that in very quickly.
Well, you know, when we start using the word conspiracy, you should throw that disclaimer out.
Very quickly, I know we're going to have to take a call, but I apologize to the listeners who I traumatized earlier. No.
What, by playing Pat Boone doing Smoke on the Water?
Yeah. So, just to get you back on the right, I got to do the opening riff. So.
Thank you very much.
I know. You can't unhear Pat Boone doing Deep Purple.
I might have to listen to Made in Japan later just to kind of completely get over it.
Wow. I give him credit for trying, but wow. I know.
How much credit, really?
Not a lot.
Yeah.
I can't believe it sold in albums.
Who's buying them in 97? Who's buying a Pat Boone album?
I know.
You know?
Might have been big in Branson, Missouri.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know.
Hey, don't forget the CD on your way out,
folks. There you go.
Oh. Oh, you're funny.
1972.
There we go.
Richie Blackmore. Not Pat Boone.
Yes. Ian Gillan singing. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, that's a more fit. This is a more. That's a more fitting opening.
Yes,
I think.
Smoke on the water. There you go. 1-866-823-1077. Last night, 9 o'clock. Another new edition of Northwood's Law, and of course, I couldn't see it because I had to go to bed, so I DVR'd it. But all of the men and women, if you have watched the show, and I've talked to a whole bunch of people lately, who have been turned on to the show relatively recently, within the past 6 months or a year. Now they binge watch on Animal Planet, and that's fabulous. So all of the men and women of Fish and Game who are featured in that show are basically the reason our next guest looks so damn good. It is my pleasure to welcome Colonel Kevin Jordan from New Hampshire Fish and Game Department.
Well, good morning, guys, and that's exactly right, Peter. All I got to do is be smart enough to stay out of their way, and they make it all happen. You know?
It's which is what makes it makes you a good leader, Colonel.
That's what any good leader will do. That's correct. If you surround yourself with very good people and just stay out of the way.
You know what I would like to have seen? There was an episode on yesterday. It was an older show, and it was you riding with Wayne Saunders. I think it was Wayne's last day.
It was, yeah.
I would like to have seen a lot of that and the outtakes. Because, you know, just a couple of North Country boys, and it just made me smile.
We had a lot of fun. Unfortunately, a lot of it ended up on the floor in the edit room because we were very relaxed and kind of forgot they were with us. But we had a great time, actually. And we, of course, Wayne and I have been friends since he came on. Years ago, still are today. We still talk almost every day. So, yeah, that was a fun day.
Who came on first onto the department? You or Wayne?
Oh my goodness, I did way before Wayne. Okay. Yeah, I had 5 years in law enforcement before Wayne came on. Although Wayne came with some experience, he worked in parks out west before coming here, but. I had been on New Hampshire Fishing Game at least 3 years before he got here. Yeah.
What was your first assignment?
I was assigned. I came on to work in Lancaster. Once I got through my 1 year probation, I put in for the North Country Patrol. I wanted Doug Menzies' old patrol, the 215 Patrol. So it was Lancaster, Stark, Stratford, Colt, up into Columbia.
Sure. Yep.
And I patrolled up there for better than 15 years. So that's some of the best years of my career, for sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, and
Wayne was next door. He was in the next patrol north of me, so it worked out. We worked together quite a bit.
There was another episode that was on yesterday that I happened to catch a little bit, and it was Lieutenant Murphy, Heidi Murphy. And Heidi was She said, you know, I spend a lot of time at headquarters. You miss being out on patrol. And it was Heidi going back out. And do you miss, when you get kicked up, lieutenant or headquarters, do you miss being out on patrol? Do you miss the action?
You do. There's two things you miss. I tell guys when they get promoted, the higher they go, the more you miss it. But two things you miss is you do miss being out there every day, although in the current pandemic that we have, we've got I've kind of scheduled one person at headquarters every day taking all five lines, phone lines, and that frees up the command staff to go out and cover one of the multiple open patrols that we have. So we're kind of back in the field, which is kind of nice. It's kind of a neat experience. But you miss that. I'll tell you the other thing you miss, Peter, is you can't be one of the gang anymore. That's the thing that I miss the most. I was very friendly, and I had a lot of – I still have a lot of friends, but it's different as you get promoted. So at any event when the guys are standing around, guys or gals are standing around visiting, and you walk up, it changes the mood a bit. And that is something I miss. I miss being one of the old guys that could walk up and – join in, although I do have that ability to still do that to some degree. It's just not quite the same, and you miss that.
Can't you just take your colonel hat off and put a baseball hat on?
I try. I tell them they have a softball game, and I get right in there and make a fool of myself with them. So I do my best to show them that I'm just like them.
I'm just one of the guys. Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
your
responsibilities are higher.
That's an interesting question. When you watch the show, I see officers most of the times wearing their baseball caps, but I see them wearing the Stetson. Is there a certain time that you're supposed to wear the Stetson, or is it optional?
Yes, there is.
Oh, okay. What?
Yes, there is. And I'm very strict about it. I think the way they look, the appearance, the uniforms that they wear, it's very important.
Oh, yeah.
And that the baseball hat is basically worn in the field, and I do it. We wear it in the field on most occasions. But when you're doing anything official, court presentations, press interviews, or coming into headquarters. I want them in that. I want them wearing that Stetson.
Okay.
It's part of the history of the agency. It gives them a different look, I think, and I think that's important. Just like a trooper wearing a campaign hat, you know, that's an important piece of the uniform.
Well, I'm trying to give examples that people can identify if they've watched the show. When you see the men and women of a fishing game out in the field or whatever, and they meet one of their counterparts, could be from Maine, could be from Vermont or whatever.
Sure.
Man, they look like sad sisters compared to us. Our guys look good.
They're different. They are different. And, you know, this, and I was one of them in the field. I pushed for a more comfortable, because they certainly make more comfortable and user-friendly type uniforms. And they, you know, I constantly get asked to allow them to change to that. But that creates all kinds of headaches. And it's an appearance thing. It's how people look at you. And so when the show came out, quite frankly, when the show came out and my own staff, the officers, could see some of this happening, then they realized that, you know, I started hearing comments like, I get it. Now I understand now. You know, you're right. It does look better. And it does. There's no question about it. I'm not beyond, when they're working a decoy, they know with me that if they're working a decoy, I want them warm. I want it practical. As long as you can identify who you are and people aren't guessing when you come charging at them, whether you're an officer or not, I'm good with whatever works. But by God, when you're in front of a camera and you're in an official capacity, I want you looking like the professional that you are.
So,
I know they are. I want them to look that way.
So if you're doing a search and recovery, and you have to see the family, I assume you're slapping on the Stetson, not the baseball cap.
That's correct.
Okay.
I want him to step in for that. I want the commander there, the on-scene commander, in a Stetson. I don't mind if during the day when he's assigning troops and he's unloading wheelers, and, you know, that's fine. But when at the end of the day when he's doing the press or going to meet the family, just out of respect, they know it. You'll see him do it. They'll throw that hat in a truck and grab the Stetson and go, you know, and that's appropriate. That's the way it should be.
Now, you and I have talked about this before, but when we have, and unfortunately this year, and we're not going to be able to do it, the National Law Enforcement Day observation at the memorial on the grounds of the Legislative Office Building. We have law enforcement units show up for that. It's always been a big deal. When Fish and Game shows up in the red uniforms, oh, my God, you are the class of the operation.
Yeah, it is a good-looking uniform. And we've had it for a long time. It's a dress uniform that's only worn rarely, and it's that event. You know, they can't even go to that event without that on, much like state police wear their dress jackets to go to it. So yeah, it stand out. We get a lot of comments on it.
Oh yeah.
And there's a great deal of pride when you put that on and button it up.
Well, this is National Law Enforcement Week, and again, Law Enforcement Day is coming up on Friday, but no observations this year.
No, you know, for the first, we struggled with this. The Memorial Committee, Memorial Association, we have a committee that works year-round to put this program on and maintain that beautiful monument over there in front of the legislative office building. We met in February when this pandemic was taking a grip, and we had a long discussion, and we kind of debated this. You know, I struggled with it, and the reason we canceled it early, it was due to go on a week from today. So a week from today, next Monday, the 18th, we were scheduled. We had the program all done. We were ready to go. And but the clientele, people, the families, a lot of the guests that come to that would mm-hmm. fit into that high-risk category, including myself, based on age. And I told the committee, I just can't, with a clear conscience, stand in front of those folks mm-hmm. worrying if we've just sign the fate of one of our guests, you know, because all it would take would be one person to get there infected and not even know it, and you could have a widespread effect to all those folks there, and I just didn't want to take that chance. So we canceled it a little early. We canceled it way back, and then I watched, and slowly, you know, this thing got worse, and then the national operation that would be going on today, starting in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. they canceled all of it for the same reasons. They're going to do some virtual stuff to try and get through the week, but they had to cancel. It's sad. We've never had to do it in 27 years. We've had this program, but we had to do it this year.
So there are no observations, virtual or otherwise, going on?
Not public. No. There's a bunch of us that are going to do some, you know, every year before the ceremony, I go to the monument the night before. It's been kind of a tradition by myself. Those kinds of things are going to continue. But no, we didn't plan to do anything for this year, unfortunately. And we're going to come back, you know, next year with hopefully and be back on track. But no, we couldn't do it. I just didn't want to take the chance of doing any of that.
Do your officers, has anybody ever voiced a concern about being concerned about, you know, going into the field and running into somebody that, you know where I'm going with this.
Yes, I do. And you know, I'm going to tell you a little story. When I came from Whitefield PD, I had a good career up there, and we had some dangerous calls, and we went on some pretty high-risk things. And when I got this job, I remember thinking, or having my family say, well, that's great. You're going to be safe now, and we don't have to worry about you because you're dealing with a whole different clientele, and it's going to be safe. And the worst shooting I've ever been in my entire law enforcement career was in this job. So
right. Yeah.
There is no one safe. And that was in 1997.
Yep.
And I remember every step of that day and will all my life, just like all these guys do.
Now, where were you? Where were you that day, Kevin?
I was home, off duty, mowing my lawn, actually, and Wayne Saunders, who was very new, he'd only been on just over a year, stopped at my house, was visiting, and two other Southern game wardens that would later be the major and is currently Jim Nealon, the lieutenant in charge of the search and rescue team, stopped at my house. So the four of us were there when we began to hear the radio transmission of that day unfolding up north. And so we got involved in that. Wayne took off from my house, drove up 9-10 miles north and was shot by Carl Greger. Coming south, we got involved at approximately 2 in the afternoon, I think, and we were in that thing until 6:30 at night when we finally, two teams went in there and ended the thing. So we lost a lot of friends that day. Scotty Phillips was a good friend of mine. Les Lord was just the greatest guy that ever put a uniform on. He was very personable and full of it. Vicky Bunnell was just a great person. A dear friend, you know, it was awful. The whole thing was awful. And you just don't forget that stuff. And so I warn these guys, you know, I tell them when we hear about these people and every neighborhood's got them, you know, a guy that's a person that's a little off that makes some threats, to take that stuff seriously. You know, we're living in dangerous times.
Yeah.
And I make sure I'm probably a little over vigilant. I make sure that all the bulletins go out. I want these guys safe. you know, we now wear vests. We never did. We started wearing vests from that day forward. That was one of the things we didn't have and we needed. And so our whole, the way we do business changed completely from that day on. And we still maintain that all today. So, yeah, there is concern about that. You know, guys say they're ready and they've been trained in it and they're going to be okay to do it. But mm-hmm. I'm here to tell you, don't know that.
You just don't know.
It's different when you talk about it than when you're standing in the middle of a, if you have time to mm-hmm. think about it, it's quite different. And it's an experience you don't ever forget.
Has Northwoods Law changed your the perception of fish and game as a law enforcement agency?
It has, I think. Well, I know we were a well-kept secret. We're not very good at promoting ourselves. That's something I've worked on my entire career here. You need to tell people what you're doing because we do some pretty fantastic things. And Northwoods Law is doing that for us. So that has helped tremendously. I think it has garnered them a lot of respect. I think they know that. You know, I think a lot of the staff has figured that out when people approach them. And it's done a lot of really great things for them. It was a good, looking back on it, it was a good move. Yeah. You know, it's complicated. It's a lot of work. But the company we have is tremendous to work with, and they've been very helpful, and it's just gone in a very positive way.
Colonel Kevin Jordan, Kevin, I wanted to kick off National Law Enforcement Week because I knew that, unfortunately, we weren't going to be doing the ceremony. I wanted to give you a chance to talk about the men and women who do serve, and so thanks for kicking it off the right way.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
Anytime, you know that. Anything you guys need.
Thanks, Peter.
All right, Kevin. Stay well. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
All right. Take care, you guys.
All right.
Thank you so much, Kevin.
Awesome. 7:55, Colonel Kevin.
Colonel.
Jordan. Colonel.
You can
Colonel.
Call him Kevin. Colonel.
Well,
I'll call
him, sir. Hey, you know, I've known him, you know, a while.
Yeah.
So, great guy. The visibility has, a fishing game has raised, and I'm sure that, you know, 30 years ago, I'm going to be safe. I'm in law enforcement. I'm
yeah,
in fishing
but
game.
The reality.
But,
right
it, yeah, it has
reality.
Changed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has. But thank you to the Colonel for being on with us. 7:55. Taking a break. Back with more.